Hello, and welcome to the Lincoln Cast, the Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast, where we talk about this wonderful MMO, Guild Wars 2. This is episode 56 for October 25th, 2013. My name is Thurbleton, and joined with me today is Shimboy630.
Oh, hi.
Hello again. And as well, the other host rounding out the discussion today, I guess, is Squiddle.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing today?
Ooh, very sensual, I like. Yes.
All right, no, okay, everyone's responded. Lovely. All right, glad you guys are all doing good.
Wait, hold on, I had to grab the pig. Hold on. Okay, I got the pig. We're good to go now.
Share the pig with the class.
Pig.
Pig. There we go. Pig shared.
If you want to hear about Shimboy's enjoyment with Pokemon, you'll be able to hear that.
I'm not going
to
talk about Pokemon.
No, you did not. I was going to say you could hear it on the Scotchcast, which that's probably coming out later this week.
Probably still not going to talk about Pokemon.
All right. We just haven't done a Lincoln Cast for a while.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so a lot has happened since the last Lincoln Cast. What's been up with you guys? What have you been doing Guild Wars wise in this time, Shimboy?
I guess. Well, I started off doing a whole bunch of dungeons because the
dungeon finder.
Yeah, the looking for group tool like was in for everyone, but everyone already knows all about that.
Yes, so, we've talked about that previously.
So I have been doing a lot of Worldly World because the league has started.
The league
or the season?
The fantasy.
Like that show based on fantasy football, they just been airing. They put up giant screens in the middle of the Borderlands, and they just been airing that. So I've been watching it.
That actually sounds kind of cool. I would be okay with that.
It's like that Garry's Mod theater mod, but in Guild Wars 2.
I kind of hope someone mirrors that technology into like some MMO that is basically like super sci-fi, like Blade Runner or something.
Mm. I don't know. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of World v. World.
Nice.
And I'm actually quite enjoying it, which is like, quite
has
different.
It, has it been really active, or like what have you been enjoying about War vs. World?
The fact that now that the season has started, now that there are rewards, like more so than just like WoW ranks or whatever, linked to doing well, I've noticed. Maybe it's just anecdotal, and I could be crazy, but on Yak's Bend at least, there seems to be a fair increase in like server pride, if you will.
Okay.
It's like people are happy to be representing Yak's Bend and doing well, at least in the first week.
Nice. Very cool.
Yak's Bend, best bend.
It's of all the bends, it is the best bend. Very cool. Are you like enjoying the ranking system of Worlds of War? Like, have you been like specking into like, yo, I'd be really good with the arrow carts or anything like that? Or
yeah, I'm not quite there yet because it takes a ton of points, but I'm going into the defense against guards one.
Okay.
Because when you max it out, you kill 5 guards and you get an extra 2,500 health until you die, which is pretty good.
Does that, please tell me that's like, that would be so broke if it stacked.
No. It's like 500, up to 5 stacks.
Oh, okay.
So it's 2,500 total. No, that would be crazy.
I miss the brokiness of some MMOs where it's just like you could, like they didn't account for people doing something silly like just killing thousands and thousands of cards to get an infinite amount of health, or like I forget what the boss was in World versus World, but like the paladin trick where you got so like just a ton of counterattacks with the next person you attacked, and somebody one-shotted a world boss with that.
Oh God!
And it's like we're gonna cap this at 4 instead of infinite.
No, I've been doing that, and then I've been messing around with the supply line. Not the one that lets you carry more supply. The one that is all about, like, spending it.
Oh, the bit make, like, build things faster sort
of
thing?
Yeah, it's like spend more supply at once. But I like it because you don't have to throw a ton of points in there. It's maybe only 20 points total to get to this point, or might be even less. You gain a chance to, whenever you spend supply, to get 2 supply back.
Oh, wow. That's
so
really nice.
If you proc it a whole bunch, you can, in theory, build something completely by yourself if you're super lucky with RNG.
Actually, like the thing I like most about that spec is it really helps. Like that is the one that by far I feel is most promoted, like small group tactics.
Yes.
is because
if everyone has that, you can build more stuff without having as many people.
Not even that. It's just like the whole idea of a small team, like having to fight a big Zerg, is just being that much quicker on the draw and like getting maybe like getting ahead of them, like getting around to a choke point and making some like either ballistas or arrow carts or something, the cheap stuff, but getting it built ASAP for when that Zerg comes barreling around the corner to try and, I don't know, just break that nut.
It's also good because, you know, if you're running in a big Zerg and you're at a supply camp and you're taking it and the dude says drain supply, the very first thing in that line is you pick up supply instantly without the, I mean, the animation still happens, but it's not, you picking up the supply is not dependent on the animation.
Oh, you don't have to press F. It's just automatically and you walk over.
No, you have to press F, but normally there's a bit of a delay on it because you have to go through the animation. It's a bit of a cast. It's not much. It's like half a second at most. But still, if there's like 30 people there all mashing to get supply, it helps if it's instant.
Very cool. We're looking out for number one.
Yep.
All right. Have either of you guys looked into the new map coming out, the Edge of the Mists map?
I looked at it briefly, like, you know, just skimmed over whatever they put out. It seems like a really good idea.
Yeah. Like the idea of like people really enjoy the whole dueling thing, as well as just like, okay, what is the Edge of the Mists map, Shinboy?
The Edge of the Mists map is I guess you can call it third map, or a fifth map, depending how you look at it.
Type of map.
Third map layout.
Yeah.
That they're adding as a fifth total map to Worldly World as an overflow, meaning that if you get queued, which is happening quite a lot, especially, well, I'm sure it's real bad on T1, but even on Yaxband, we were queuing certain Borderlands and EB like every night this past week during prime time. So once this is in, and it, by reading the article, it seems like it's a bit of a ways out. Instead of queuing and just standing around in a queue, you know, running around in Lion's Arch or whatever, you get sent to this Edge of the Mists map, which creates more and more overflows, just like a PvE map would, where it's basically like floating islands in the sky. It's Guild Wars 2 Columbia. And
yep,
it's built around a whole bunch of choke points. Apparently, according to what they put down in this little design doc, I guess you could call it.
Well, like, just look at the images. It looks like it's built around choke points in that there's just, it's in the sky. So
you need to cross this bridge. You can't go any other way.
The only way you can go is down.
Yeah. And you die, I assume. Either that or you just land in EB and keep going, which would be kind of weird.
That would be phenomenal.
That would be more phenomenal to be in EB when, like, or I'm sorry, EBG.
Or if you did that and you ended up on like an airship battling on like the deck of an airship.
Dive off the airship.
Yeah. Then you control the airship and then you run the airship into somebody else's airship. And then you
have everyone sit down in a chair and someone presses the button on the back of the airship and it rockets through the sky.
Yeah, exactly. And then
we're getting into serious in-joke territory.
Gotta wait for it to recharge and then go to the edge of the map.
Then you press it when no one else on your team is paying attention, so no one's left on the boat and everyone dies because they drown.
And then just throw a different reference out there. At the end, like right as all the fighting's done, Vlad gets out of the steering ship of the airship and just jumps off.
I don't even get that reference.
Magica.
Oh, okay. I do get that reference.
But yeah, this is a neat thing. I think obviously, it's more catered to the casuals and the like seasoned people. Like
I would disagree.
Well, no, because the people who are really into World versus World are probably the ones who are really passionate about their score, or like their server score. That's what they're fighting for, the big board, and you don't get points for the big board in this.
This is completely separate.
I still think they might enjoy it, but I think it's designed for the casuals. But definitely not. Definitely something that hopefully the more
I'm control. I'm just control F-ing XP in this article, and you still earn world XP in here. So you still get your personal rewards from doing this, which is a very good idea.
And then the other really awesome thing about this is, I'm not sure if you have enlisted the Lincoln Force into this.
I have not. I have to get on that. Thank you.
But like they are accepting guild submissions to be in the beta for the map test. which I
think... you're really only supposed to fill out one per guild. And the way they word it, they're going to let the larger World versus World guilds in first.
Understandably so. But yeah. It's if you have a guild that is really enthused about World versus World, you should probably look that up. We'll probably put it in the show notes on how to sign up for this.
Yeah, they said only one per guild. It just makes it easier for them because they're not judging it by how many people submitted.
And probably more submissions would probably get you like just taken off the list then.
Yeah. Because I think they said something, it's like it's automatically coded to remove submissions that they deem malicious.
And it's just the whole idea of getting the player feedback, like effectively it's a PTR, right?
Basically, yeah, it's a world-to-world PTR, which I've been saying for quite some time, this game needs a PTR. And as soon as they're starting to get a message.
Yeah.
At least in one game mode. Although I do like, I mean, actually on the same thing, one of the things I really like, especially it being sort of a PTR, is that none of the beta testing will be NDA'd.
Yeah. You can talk about whatever want, and they're trying to get the discussion back and forth on this.
Yeah, because they were just like, okay, we can only let a certain amount of people in at the beginning just to test the system and see if our server infrastructure handles it, but we want your feedback on the map itself so it won't be NDA'd. Which is a big change because ArenaNet, even more recently, has started to clamp down on sort of preview content. So, yeah. I think it's a fantastic idea.
I agree. Squiddle, what are your thoughts on this? Just the whole Edge of the Mists as a whole?
Like being able to play World v. World while you are queued for World v. World.
Definitely it's a lot more fun. Like right now, because I had not seen the giant billboards and TVs that you spoke about, I was like, I'm going to jump in and take a look at all that, and I'm queued, and I can't even get in to view that. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be in this, but to be able to be able doing something while I'm waiting instead of just standing around in whatever city my character has decided to be in for that evening, at least it kind of gets you ready and gets you amped up. And if you are trying to, you know, if you are going for those specific, you know, battles and you're ranking and everything, at least it's like a warm-up. You can kind of get ready and get your muscles and your muscle motion, your muscle reflexes ready for your hands and everything, and be like, okay, I'm ready to go in now. And you're kind of, you know, you're not that one kill you get that's going to affect your score really is not going to affect it because you've already warmed up. You're ready to go.
I'm also curious if they're going to have like anything like just like a map meta sort of thing of holding territory points might give you, maybe it's just a map wide bloodlust buff or something, but. Like, it looks like there's control points sort of things on some of these maps.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's just aesthetically for, like, arena fighting sort of thing, but the last image on the, like, we're basically looking at the Guild Wars 2 blog post about this on their main website.
Another thing that I like just looking at the images is that it's not like Borderlands where they're all the same. Each server's area is completely different aesthetically.
It looks a lot like the, well,
if it looks like Fractals, in all honesty.
Yeah, Fractals meets like the Queen's Jubilee thing, but like it's in the mist, so everything is just floating island.
Yeah, because magic.
But yeah, that last picture, there's like some ruins off on the left side. It's like the curved slope one. There's some sort of blue energy thing that I'm suddenly curious what that is.
I don't know why this picture brings back imagery from the book and the game Myst for me when I'm looking at this.
It's because everything's got a super misty like look to it.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Okay.
It's probably it. Yeah.
It's been misted. That's...
Wait, are you saying it's mystifying?
Yes.
Mystical.
It's okay. It's electrifying.
Yeah,
okay.
You win. I can't.
That's what's been new at the World versus World. There's been some new stuff though with the PVE side as well, though. Correct?
Has there?
Well, new-ish. It's same but different, I guess. With Halloween,
I like same.
The Mad King has returned, and now he's got a kid now.
He's always had a kid.
Yeah, I guess.
Learn your lore, Therb.
I'm sorry. I'm no wooden potatoes.
But none of us are.
Yeah, Squiddle. I think
British.
You were. This is what you're the most recent to finding out about the Mad King's son.
Recent, I guess, is I guess.
Hold on. Before you go any further, I have to ask. You were here for Halloween last year, correct?
Yes, I was. Okay. I did the Hollywood event last year, and as many of you who are probably listening know, I have not played much in the last months. Not of my own, not wanting to, by the way. But it was nice to be able to hear that, you know, Halloween was back, and I jumped in, and it felt very at home to the last Halloween, which is when I was playing many hours of the game. And so I was, I liked that they kept a lot of the original aesthetics from it. Albeit I wish that the Mad King was still in the center of town. The lion
blew up the fountain.
Yeah. The fountain, that was kind of fun, but
I really kind of liked the like 6 month change in the fountain.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
But I liked that it kind of felt the same coming back to an event. Like I was revisiting, almost like I was revisiting an event that I took place in last year. It's the same comforting feeling, with some changes. So it wasn't anything that was too crazy, but I liked that. And, from what I've played so far of the new story, story arc, or however that is pronounced, I like it so far. I haven't played much of it.
I actually have not dug into the story stuff at all. I've just been doing the, I guess you call it extraneous stuff for Halloween, like all the labyrinth stuff.
Yeah, I did do the jumping puzzle once again. As many of you may probably don't know, I did the jumping puzzle for many hours last year and made it one time only. Right before the end of when they were basically going to do the patch to it was done. It was over. And I was so excited, so happy with myself. And I jumped back in and failed the first time and even got chastised by one of the people who was in there with me and said that I was staring at him laughing so hard, I had failed. So I will not be attempting that again, but it was still fun to know that that came back. And it's maybe like a pinnacle point, something that comes with every year with the Mad King event. So
old standby, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Former host. I guess just, you know, he might be back another episode, but yeah, Riven made it through, without breaking a mouse this time,
which is always good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Always good. But yeah, it seems just like I've done both ends of the dungeon sort of thing with the Blood Prince. I haven't done any of the, there's a lot of map exploration, I guess, scavenger hunt sort of thing.
I haven't done any of the new instance that they added or anything like that. I've just been running around in the labyrinth because I like it in there.
It's a little cave. I think it's nice that they did something with the ghost area in the Black Citadel.
Okay. I heard about that.
Yeah, that's pretty much like where the Blood Prince has been hiding out at. It would have been nice if, I don't know, they did... I realized they were just like, hey, we need to do something with this Blood Prince. We need to find a place to put him. Hey, we'll put him in this spot since we haven't used it yet.
Is the Blood Prince a Silvari? What is he?
No.
I don't know the lore.
He's an emo / goth kid.
Okay. So he's just a little punk guy you just want to step on. Okay. I got it.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's understandably pissed off. His dad stuffed candy corn in his mouth and then buried him alive.
Yep. So, it was a funny joke that went bad. That's all I can say to that one.
Yeah. So I can understand why he'd be angry. But other than that, yeah, it's a fun scavenger hunt for those who like that. If you get lost or if you just want to speed through it for the achievements, I'm sure there's websites that you could look that stuff up, Delphi or whatnot. But yeah, that seems pretty fun.
It wasn't. Okay, hold on. We're all wrong. I thought it was his son.
What?
Is that his son?
No.
I thought it was two.
He was made.
He calls him father.
Thorns. According to the Guild Wars 2 official wiki, on the prince... Oh, wait, hold on. This is a different guy. Never mind.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah, because in...
get scared there.
I think it's in the labyrinth. What's really I love about Halloween is they just... Yes. They can be cheeky and cheesy and just all sorts of just, you know, snarky fun with the Mad King. There's like this giant, like there are two titans in the background of the labyrinth having this discussion. And you get to learn a little bit more inside baseball sort of stuff about, the Blood Prince and the family as a whole. Mad King killed them all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But that seems to not be the icing on the cake for come Halloween. ArenaNet has something else planned. I'm not sure if they're going to do anything with the Mad King still, but they have another update coming out that will happen right before the month ends.
They do. And it also looks, if not directly Halloween related, still goes with the spooky October theme.
Oh, yes. Very spooky. Nightmarish, even.
a tower of nightmares, if you will.
It's indeed. It's
these segues are nightmares.
Can I wear my ninja outfit with no, really can't. Horrible? Oh come on!
You can only wear your Please. Power Rangers costume.
You can't wear the ninja outfit because as soon as you get in combat, you lose the ninja outfit and go back to your armor.
Was this Pokemon? Is he Zoroark?
Yeah.
There you go. That's your Pokemon reference.
Pokemon. But yeah, in the Kessex Hills.
Kessex Hills.
Yeah, there's some mist forming right now, or something that's shrouding something sinister, and just no one knows what it could be.
No one knows. Zero people know.
Ah, that's the trailer. It's the update looks cool. I'm not talking bad.
Trailer's amazing. The trailer's amazing. You shut your mouth.
The trailer is so dumb, and that thing's like. The crate I've been constructing. So it's like the person who's the narrating it does not realize that there's B-roll film happening next to him.
Yep. It's pretty great. You should
all
watch it.
No one knows what it could be. And then just like, you always see the outline of a giant tower. It's like, I wonder what it could be.
It's like very it's like that Whose Eyes It Anyway game where Colin Mockery stands in front of the green screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So not nearly as funny. Well, maybe as funny in a different way.
But yeah, do you guys think this is a tower? Or what
tower isn't the name.
I realize that, but I theorize it's more like instance. A tree.
I think, well, are we just saying is it like anybody can go in there, or you think it'll be instance-based?
Well, okay, I think it's going to be a new instance, new dungeon.
Oh, okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
It could be something else entirely. But it looks like a giant, like... dandelion or something, which could hint that it's going to grow into a giant nightmare tree. Oh, okay.
It's not like a flowery, I guess, flower-looking thing on top, but giant dandelion's a bit much.
Well, okay. Just like, it looks like a giant tree trunk that's, you know, circling up to something that's about to bud.
Well, like, these crate obelisks have existed in lore for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. That's the, of the things you can do in the world, there's, like, crate obelisk shards that are appearing all over or something. What did you, mm-hmm. do you know?
I don't know anything about them. I just know that they've existed.
Okay. Thousands of years ago.
I'm pretty sure they were like altars or places of worship, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. That's
trying to look this up, trying to fact check on this podcast.
All right. And then like the other thing I think is neat is that if I'm reading this right, and we're not always, but it looks like everyone is getting a new healing skill that might be pertinent to whatever lies inside or around this tower.
Yeah, I know that Colin was saying that people were worried, like, oh god, am I only going to be able to get this skill? Because the skill will stick around after the update, which I'm not sure if this means that this thing is permanent, or if it means that whatever mechanic they happen to be adding is permanent. Because, you know, this thing's coming out in a few days, and they've still been very hush-hush about it.
And well, they've been hush-hush about most updates right as they're released, but... Colin did say in the halfway through the year that every update coming out will have something permanent in the world.
Yeah.
So maybe, there's maybe not condition. All of them will be permanent, but something will be permanent.
But people were worried that they wouldn't be able to get this skill after the update and that they might need it. And Colin was like, no, you can still get it. It's just going to be easier to obtain during the event. As in, I think the way he worded it was like, it won't cost any skill points and it'll cost skill points after the event.
Yeah. Afterwards, you'll have to do a bunch of mining, and hopefully you'll get a rare mining node of unobtainium, and then you'll get a skill point. Yeah.
And then you make a movie about it with James Cameron.
That's actually, that was filmed in the Fractals.
And then Boris and Natasha come out, and it's actually Obsidasium.
Moose and Squirrel.
Moose and Squirrel.
That's the first November update, Moose and Squirrel.
It's a new fractal. The Moose is tied up like the big blue guy, and you are Squirrel trying to break him free.
The in-game item you can get and purchase from the store is actually a squirrel balloon, squirrel kite.
Okay, keep talking.
Okay, and then you get a female costume that is Natasha, and then the Asura. Okay. Only Asura can get a Boris outfit.
Oh, God. Okay, moving on from these Rocky Bullwinkle.
That's it. That's all we got for this week is this tower.
I am nothing to write.
Normally, they give pretty good outlines or rough outlines about what's going to be in each update. This one, they have, like, nothing, which is worrying, but also encouraging at the same time.
Yeah, it seems like this is, I don't know, if this is a new dungeon path or what have you, this seems like something that they've been, it seems, I don't know if it's just that there, it looks like a big thing in a known zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last time we saw that was a change to a real zone was South Sun Cove with the like resurgence of Crate and all that. And then they just added a bunch of tents. Like it was a basic model. This looks like a whole new thing that was made by the environment team. So it, I don't know. It looks like they really well crafted this. I don't know why.
It seems like this is something that they've been working on. I mean, they worked on all of them for a good amount of time.
And new Crate models as well.
Yes. Like, I mean, even that, normally they say, okay, these are the new features, roughly. We're not going to give you full details until we release the patch notes. But this is just so like, yo, there's a new skill, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And like, you can get a thing for your personal, like, your home instance that acts as a place of power if you feel like using quartz. That's about all they said.
Something's happening in Kessix, but we don't know what it is. Don't look at this video.
Don't watch this video. Or anything on this page, because the image is everywhere.
Yeah. Question for you guys. I know Squiddle, you're super busy, and Shimbo, you're usually like between the schooling and watching the fine features of Giant Bomb. Have you had a chance to watch any of the developer live streams?
I have not.
I have not either.
I mean, I've turned them on for like a few minutes, and then that's it.
It's nice that they have they're archiving all of them on the YouTube as well. But
they're not very good.
They're not good, but it. Now they're not always catered to us. Like the one where it's like an art director, or like they had the music, like the two music guys, not the main composer. Like the guys have been doing music after post release. I can't remember or even attempt to pronounce their last names, but
better than to not say anything at all.
Yeah, I think it's just neat that they'll have those things for people who are interested in them.
Yeah, it's good. It's just it's not that the content is not interesting. It's like, they always say, like, you know, delivering a speech is half of what you say and half of how you say it. It's that latter half that is lacking.
So is your opinion slightly skewed because you watched, like, the Giant Bomb performance and they're like, they have that down to a science?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, sure, they are not personalities on the internet like the Giant Bomb guys are. So it is excusable. It's just sort of like, I don't know. It's just hard for me personally to. No, I don't want to say hard to watch because that's not true. It's just not what I'm used to.
Yeah, I still think it. I need to do some research to see if there are other MMOs or other game companies that do this sort of thing.
I think it's great that they're yeah. going out there and being very forward. I guess is one way to put it. Just sort of, you know, putting themselves in front of a camera for their fans and their player base.
Yeah, it's definitely been a rocky road, but it's nice that they're sticking to it. Other than that, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot too new. If there's
go play World v. World. It's yes. crazy right now.
Go play World v. World. I guess we'll go around to plugs/advice for the community. Any listeners? Shimboy?
Advice. Go play World vs. World. Don't run a Berserker build, or I will personally yell at you, regardless of whether or not you're in my matchup.
Yep.
Actually, take some time and think. A lot of people I talk to don't like World v. World because they don't like the running back after you die and the whole nine. Well, the easy way to solve long runs back after you die is not dying.
Yeah.
So maybe add some defense to your build.
I actually tend to have a lot of health or defense in my build, and it's.
I run a Mesmer that is more tanky than my Guardian.
I mean, when it comes to a Zerg versus Zerg fight, it's whichever one survives first or survives the longest, I guess.
Yeah. Like, so, if anyone's curious about my Mesmer build, because I main a Mesmer in World v. World, the traits are 00, 20, 20, 30. I don't remember the exact trait numbers. And then you just run Berserker accessories with Power Toughness Vitality armor. So I usually have around 3,000 to 3,100 attack, but like well over like 2,100 armor and like 22,000 health.
Nice.
So I can take quite a few hits.
And it's also like knowing, just sit back and watch the maps for like how how the different lanes of traffic, so to speak, work out.
Yeah, and don't just spawn and then run. As soon as what I usually do is, as soon as I get into a map, I press M, open up the map, do a quick survey, and see which commanders are there and what they are doing. If it's a commander that I really like, I'll usually stay on that map regardless of what they're doing, because I know they'll do something that's either fun or productive. If it's a commander that maybe I don't know or I don't like as much, I'll maybe ask in map chat if like anyone is needed in any other map, and if no one is needed anywhere else, I'll just suck it up and stay.
Very cool.
Sorry, one last thing. Support builds are not useful in PvE. They are super useful in World v. World.
Yeah, just like
Venom sharing thieves. Super useful.
Yep.
What I usually run on my Mesmer, just as a good example, is I run Blink because I always run Blink. Then Feedback, and I usually switch, depending on what we're doing, between Veil, which is the stealth wall, and Null Field.
What's your weapon setup? Do you have a focus?
Sword focus.
Do you have the spec to have the focus have a reflect on it?
Yes. So if it's in like a big, if we're like caught in a door, what I'll do is like a tower is a good example because it's a small courtyard. I got about 20 kills the other day because they were all held behind the door. And as soon as the door went down, I just feedbacked the big group. And as soon as the feedback went down, I put the Mesmer wall like from the focus in front of them. So I got two back-to-back reflects.
Yeah, it's the focus. I really hope is like, I think it might be underappreciated, but that is super useful.
If you're running a Mesmer, like you are running sword focus. I'm sorry, that's what I'm telling you to run. The second weapon.
You can do scepter focus if you want, but have
scepter's
that focus.
Real bad.
The
reason I like sword is not because of the like damage from
it. Vulnerability on two.
It's the evade. It's not vulnerability. It's evade on two, and also the three is a ranged immobilize. If you think about it,
if you spec it right, yeah.
No. The three, the thing jumps to it, and then when you swap positions, it immobilizes it. Immobilizes anything in the area.
Well, I can never actually get that thing to in gel.
It's hard if your target's moving and not in range.
Yeah.
But if a good example is if someone's like on a wall of a tower, you can use the four on the focus to pull them off onto the ground, then use the three on sword to quickly throw an illusion at it, swap places with it, immobilize them. Suddenly you're in melee range, use the two on the sword, then shatter your illusions, and you have a good shot at doing a good chunk of damage.
Nice. Mesmer tips from Shinbori's third.
High-level Mesmer play.
Exactly, the highest. Squiddle, any plugs / just like fun things you'd suggest in the game?
Yeah, play more than I have, folks, and enjoy yourself in the game.
Youth is wasted on the young.
That's right.
You know, that saying.
It's a really good one. I like it.
Well, no, it's either youth is wasted on the young, or if you like go crazy as a young person, then it's like, oh, you're burning the candle at both ends.
Whatever, man.
It's like, I can't win with you old people.
Live while you're alive.
There you go. And then I guess mine would just be go out, have fun with the game. I don't know.
I have another plug there. I think you know what it is.
You should know
what it is.
If you have any suggestions for things you want us to discuss or talk about.
That's not it, but okay.
You could email us with thelincolncast@gmail.com, or if it's under 140 characters.
Characters.
They're just words. They don't control us. At the LincolnCast on Twitter.
Some of those things are not words.
Exactly.
One last plug. Okay. Aside from tweeting us at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter, I usually respond pretty quickly or within a day to Twitter. Anyway, 1 week, I guess 1 week from tomorrow when we're recording this, November 2nd, year of our Lord 2013, I will be participating in Extra Life. It is a 25-hour video gaming marathon thing where you can sponsor me or anyone else that you think is worthy. And the money goes towards the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. There's one not too far from me that I'm sponsoring personally. So yeah, I'll be streaming that out on twitch.tv /shinboy630. You can also, if you stumble upon my Extra Life page, I guess, sure, the third you'll put in the show notes, I'll give you the link.
I'll put the show notes, and we'll probably, like, we'll probably
I'll tweet it out from the Lincoln Cast Twitter
as well. We'll probably tweet it out, just because it's charity. Come on, guys.
Yeah,
I'll be joining.
Yeah, you got a fair number of guests lined up.
Not a fair number. It's just going to be Guild Mumble Open. And then it's not completely set in stone, but I did email him, and he said he would, just to remind him later when it gets closer to it, that at some point, most likely in the evening, because I'm not going to be playing Guild Wars 2 the whole time. I'll be playing probably like Dead Space, Mirror's Edge, Audio Surf 2, just assorted games. ArenaNet artist Josh Foreman, who we have talked to previously on this podcast, has agreed to join me at some point during the day to play Guild Wars 2. I don't know what we're going to be doing yet in-game. I have no idea. But as we get closer to that, I'll tweet it out. I'm on Yaxband server, so I'll probably try and get him to guest there just because it'll be easier. So if you guys want to try and follow us around, that'd be cool. I have a commander tag, so it'll be easy to follow.
Yep.
So yeah.
All right.
Do that. Give money to charity.
Yeah, give money to charity. Subscribe to the Lincoln Cast Twitter, at the Lincoln Cast. And have a good day. I never know how to end these.
Week. Come on, we don't record every day.
Have a good 2 weeks.
What?
Hey everybody, it's Thurbleton. So after last week's Scotchcast, which we had Durin and Mage Knight, to former Guild Wars 2 players, or inactive Guild Wars 2 players, after recording they were talking a little bit about their opinions on the dungeon system and Guild Wars 2 as a whole. And while these are not necessarily positive, they're more or less negative, I think it's useful to hear their opinions and basically to understand why they're not on the show anymore. Maybe they'll come back, maybe they'll swing back around, come an expansion or something, but I just figured I'd add on since it was a short episode and we couldn't give you guys a full hour or something, so here you go.
Like, I said it was the best game I ever played, and I still think the beta was the best game I've ever played.
You are a crazy person.
Wait, so then, if that's the case, Noob, like, what changed that made it not good? Because it's the same game.
Played more of it.
The first 20 levels... Okay, the first... like the story missions in the human world is what made me think it was the best game, but then the story advanced and I hated the game. I didn't even particularly like anything. Like, it might have been partly nostalgia without
the
music.
I didn't want to go into it too much on the podcast, but what really killed Guild Wars 2 a lot for me and why I haven't really been logging in at all is the combination of the combat. I think that was definitely part of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to go any further on the podcast, but the other problem I also had with it is, again, something I thought was awesome at the time until I've played it, and that is I don't like the horizontal progression method. Because once I hit max level and I got a set of gear that I liked the look of, I felt like I was done with the game, and if I decided I wanted to change my look, which was at that point the whole point of the game, it just meant grinding.
Okay.
And grinding for the sake of, like, appearance. Like, there was
idea what grinding means until you try getting a legendary and or one of the ascended items crafted.
As someone who played a lot of Guild Wars 1 and really enjoyed it, where it was also very horizontal near the end, like, the problem with me is I like MMOs and the fact that I know people exist, but I don't really want to interact with them. And, like, forcing me to have, like, people to play with doing dungeons and stuff, no henchmen, no nothing, sort of, like, bums me out.
So you're of the opinion of Jeff, who, like, he doesn't like Guild Wars 2 because you have to interact with other people.
I like that part of Guild Wars 2, actually.
And the opposite goes where, literally, you can not trade anything. Like, earning money amounts to doing dungeons. That's what I hate. Like, you cannot earn money very well unless you just do dungeons all the time,
problem when I mentioned about the horizontal progression and not liking that is that the lack of a horizontal progression is directly correlates to the lack of an in-game. There is no in-game for this.
Right.
Once you've hit max level and you've gotten your set of gear, that's all there is, and that's all there ever will be for Guild Wars. You have to have that progression for an in-game to exist.
Yeah.
Because, like, think about it this way. Like, when they release expansions, unless they, like, you know, increase level cap, which then would have to increase, you know, gear and everything, at least I would imagine, like, any expansions they release, and you guys probably know this because you played Guild Wars 1, but as somebody who's played normal MMOs, any expansion they release, like, it's going to be kind of, like, pointless for me to play because I'm already max level. I'm already, my stats are, aside from a legendary, my stats are as high as they're going to be right now.
Well, I'm curious, how is the Secret World doing it? And I'm still recording, but effectively the show is over. But they seem to be in a similar rut of, like, their main attraction is just, like, solving these puzzles and all that. I don't know if, like, character progression is a thing. So is it just, like, they're trying to do something similar to Living Story, and it's just they do a better quality job?
I think just
they still have vertical progression. Like, there are still raids, and you still get better and better gear as they release new content.
See, for me, that game is not even gameplay. It's the story and the characters that makes it enjoyable for me.
Now, that said,
yeah,
Secret World's also not particularly doing great.
No.
Like, they fucking laid off a shitload of their staff.
Ah, so, gotcha.
It's not exactly a thing that Guild Wars 2 should strive to do like them.
Honestly, I'm starting to feel a bit like Jeff and saying, like, they should just end Guild Wars 1.5 or something. I don't know why. It's just...
You know, I mean, like, I do enjoy the multiplayer aspect of it and everything, and that's my problem is with Guild Wars 2, like, the only time you have to put up with people is doing dungeons to get...
But it's like, that's the only thing to do in this game. Like, I love mindless tasks like farming in Guild Wars 1 for some reason, because it let me listen to podcasts and have a purpose. Like, earning, there's nothing to do. It's just events and stuff like that. It's like, you can't sell your miniatures. That pisses me off. I have three.
Yeah, there's not a lot to do in that game. That's just not.
Okay, there. Is Queen Jenna the only miniature you can get on your first birthday present?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
That's the first birthday thing. Queen Jenna.
Awful. That's just. Why don't you just do what you did before? Have a bunch of random things you can
do. What, you mean you don't have the Ritlock miniature? Oh, that's a pet. Never mind.
No. I mean, like, in Guild Wars 1, where you could just sell, like, making money in this game is essentially doing them. There's not, this game does not offer a lot of options.
No, which is annoying that, like, that is what the Looking for Group Dungeon people, like, I talked about this last week, Mage Knight, of how, like, the Looking for Group tool is... like, the only people still doing dungeons are people who are doing it for money, so they only do the most efficient way possible.
I'm looking at the Dungeon Finder now. This is the first time I've actually looked at it. This is quite possibly the worst fucking implementation of a Dungeon Finder I've ever seen.
Here's
the thing, Mage Knight. The way the Dungeon Finder works is if you, like, say you're forming a group and you need a person or two people or whatever, you essentially kind of...
Wait, you're in the game?
You're basically advertising that you have a group, and so as somebody who's trying to find the group, I can click on Ara and see what groups are currently queued for it and looking for members. The problem is, like, when I'm looking at this, the one that is able to be joined just straight up says, "Read Ara Path 4. Please be experienced and know Ara. Expecting Mesmer Guardian Warrior." So
gross.
As an elementalist, if I want to go run Ara, I can't run it with that group because they're just going to kick me if I join them. So instead, I have to advertise for my party. When I click on that, then I put in a description for my party, which is what they had done there. Hit the button to advertise for my party, and at that point, it just throws me in that little lineup of groups that are trying to get party members.
Like, legit, I don't even mind just typing into doll chat LFG blah blah blah, but it doesn't work in this game. Because it's all fucking non-instanced.
LFG, path 3, I just want to speed through this shit, please.
Yeah, or like GLF. Like, it... I don't know. It just... For a game that changes the entire... from its prequel, like, into a social experience, it does a shit job of putting people together if they want to be together.
Also, Mage, I already saw one group said they were doing professional runs only.
Great. Awesome.
Fuck that is.
Everything I hate about everything. in one neat package.
Now, I will say, this: if you have a party that, like, you have two people and there's another party that has three, you can choose to merge the parties and join that way. But, again, that seems kind of pointless because the way a looking for dungeon tool works is you hit a button, whether you're in a party or not, and it matches you with a group.
Like, yeah.
It basically took all of the calculations and work that a looking for dungeon tool is supposed to do and are making the players do it instead. They basically just added a lobby is all they did.
Great. I'm just fucking pissed off. But there's no henchmen or heroes.
Worst.
Wilson, are you still recording?
Maybe.
I'm still recording. I don't know.
This won't be useful for the Scotchcast, but I will probably save this for a Lincoln Cast like add-on or something.
Yeah.
Listen to people who don't play the game shit on this game they don't play.
Yeah, at the end, after the credits.
Or listen to people who, Durin is a wonderful resource as a person who's played tons and tons, like a lot more MMOs than I have, and has seen the wide spectrum of stuff. And I'm sure a lot of listeners or people who have played like the Guild Wars 1 exclusively or Guild Wars 2 exclusively think like, oh, this is great. Or so it's like, oh, like their opinions are different than that of Durin's. And I can weigh both those as an individual, I guess.